the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
So good morning, everybody, and a very warm welcome, whether you're here within church today or whether you are with us at home. It's a great joy to come and share your service with you. Have some banns of marriage to proclaim. I published the banns of marriage between Saul Long of this parish and Danielle Rebecca Marguerite Latto, also of this parish. This is for the third time of asking. If any of you know any reason in law why they may not marry each other, then you are to declare it. Our thoughts are with Saul and Danielle as they prepare for their wedding day and for all those who are getting married this year. Lynn.
It's just a really quick plea on behalf of the Mothers Union. Here I am again. We've had word from one of our neighbouring dioceses, the Diocese of Chester and Manchester, that there has been, sadly, quite a large influx of refugees into the city. And they've been housed in hotels. But unfortunately, they have arrived without any winter clothing or any clothing of outdoor use. So the missive has come down. If we are able to support their work in the Chester and Manchester Diocese to provide any of these children who have arrived with a coat. And it makes me incredibly sad that I have to stand here and ask if anybody can offer a donation of a coat for a child. Marsha, our branch leader, is the contact. If you are able to support it, not suggesting that you go out and spend money and buy a new coat, but if you've got any children or grandchildren that may be outgrown a coat or an outdoor rainwear or something, if you could perhaps see it within yourselves to offer that as a donation, we would be eternally grateful. We're not asking for thousands, we may be asking for tens, but it's wonderful if you can offer anything. So please do liaise with Marsha or myself, and we'll take it from there. But thanks, it's children's winter clothing for outside. Is that right, Marsha? So please pray about it as well, because we're in a situation where we shouldn't be, but I'll leave that with you. Thank you.
Thanks, Rosie.
Thank you.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. God, our Father, long-suffering, full of grace and truth, you create us from nothing and give us life. You give your faithful people new life in the water of baptism. You do not turn your face from us, nor cast us aside. We confess that we have sinned against you and our neighbour. We have wounded your love and marred your image in us. Restore us for the sake of your Son, and bring us to heavenly joy in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
May Almighty God, who sent his Son into the world to save sinners, bring you his pardon and peace now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of glory, the end of our searching, help us to lay aside all that prevents us from seeking your kingdom and give all that we have to gain the pearl beyond all price, through our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
A reading from the first book of Kings. David slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. The time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David. Only he sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings at that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask what I should give to you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart towards you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out and come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people who you have chosen, a great people, so numerous that they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this in your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I will give you also what you have not asked for, both riches and honor in all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Hear the gospel.
I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He put his arms around her, pressed her to his breast, cavorted with her in that shameless, indecent, whirling dance, and engaged in a familiarity that broke all the bounds of good breeding. That got you all listening, didn't it? No, it's not an excerpt from the latest Mills and Boons. It was written in 1771 by the German author Sophie van der Roche. And it's a description of the waltz. In England, the dance was described as riotous and indecent. Nowadays, of course, the waltz is a perfectly respectable dance. Where would Strictly be without it? And we're used to seeing much closer intimacy between dancing couples. Something that shocks one generation can become normal and acceptable in the next. And sometimes something that shocks us in the 21st century was once considered respectable and legitimate. The Colston Hall in Bristol is undergoing major refurbishment and will reopen under a different name. Edward Colston was a slave trader, and with the wealth that he acquired through that trade, he endowed schools and almshouses. And his name was given to the concert hall in Bristol 150 years after he died, in recognition of all the good work that he did with his money. But the hall is now being renamed because of Colston's involvement with the slave trade, which we now find repugnant and unacceptable. In our gospel reading, we hear Jesus say, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." Familiar words to us who gather regularly in church, so familiar that it might be hard for us to imagine the shocking impact of those words that they had on the Jews that were listening to Jesus, and also may have today on people who hear them in church for the very first time. The idea of eating human flesh and drinking human blood is repugnant and shocking, and for Jews, then and now. There is also the commandment in Genesis that forbids men to eat meat that still has blood within it. Every moving thing, it says, Genesis 9, every moving thing that lives will be food for you. Only you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, with its blood. In his gospel, St. John doesn't give us an account of the Last Supper, but in the accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we hear words similar to the words used by Jesus in today's gospel reading. In those accounts, Jesus gives bread and wine to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, and drink, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many." Here Jesus is using bread and wine symbolically, but in language that may be as shocking to the disciples in the upper room as is that language that he uses in Capernaum when he addresses the crowds who have gathered to listen to him. Indeed, these words of Jesus prove to be too much for many of his followers, who leave him at this point, and maybe some may still struggle to understand them today. In our service of the Eucharist, or Holy Communion, or the Mass, or whichever you choose to call it, we are invited to receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you, and to feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Through those words, we are reminded that, as John says at the very beginning of his gospel, in Jesus, God's word became flesh and lives among us. Jesus is the Son of Man who, in his humanity, understands the life that we live and the experience of all the joys and sorrows that we do. So we receive into our bodies, our flesh, the fullness of human life found in Jesus. We absorb that fullness of life.
so that it can transform us and enable us to become the people that God wants us to be. We're also reminded that from the body, the flesh of Jesus, flows God's lifeblood. And we receive that lifeblood so that we might also absorb the divine and eternal life of Jesus, the Son of God. But we don't stop there, because then, having received the body and blood of Christ, we are called to live his risen life, to bring life to others, to give light to the world, and to invite others to join us in our journey of faith. That strengthened and encouraged by the true food and true drink we receive each time we share bread and wine in the Eucharist. So no wine today, I'm afraid, but there will be bread, and we will come forward to receive that bread in thanksgiving that we are receiving the flesh of Christ. We are receiving his life so that we can go out into his world to bring light and joy and encourage others to join with us on our journey of faith.
Let us declare our faith in God. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
O taste and see that the Lord is good. As God's beloved children, let us come to him and open our hearts to him now. Let us pray. In our cycle of prayer for the worldwide Anglican Communion, we pray today for the diocese in the province of Southern Africa as their bishops work to tackle unemployment, poverty, and inequality, which have escalated during the pandemic. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Here in our own Church of St. Mary, we pray for a thriving diocese whose culture is a shared vision shaped by challenge. And we pray and give thanks this morning for all the clergy, past and present, who have served you in this place. In our community, we pray for all those attending the Newsham Park Festival on Saturday. In their enjoyment, may they stay safe. We pray for the work of St. George's Crypt in our city, for all those who give freely of their time, and for all who receive assistance there. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing on the nations of the world, holding before you today Afghanistan and its people. We pray for those fleeing their homes to try to find safety for their families, only to have to move on again ahead of the Taliban, who are intent on taking over their towns and villages. We pray for all refugees, for children who are afraid, for the elderly who feel confused and helpless, and for women who are under threat. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Dear Lord, we give thanks for our families, friends, and neighbours, and ask for your blessing on them. May we live in love, unselfishness, thoughtfulness, and gratitude towards each other. And this morning we pray especially for the residents of Birtree Vale. May they know your love and live in harmony. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Jesus, our healer, we place in your gentle hands those who are sick, and mention by name those known to us: Pat Hyde, Beryl Laverick, Ginny Camponi, Tom Heafy, Donald Townsley, Alan and Mavis Cross, Christine Oates, Jeff Blowers, and Jeffrey Lidster. Ease their pain and heal them in body, mind, and spirit. Be present to them through the support of family and friends and in the care of doctors and nurses, and fill them with the warmth of your love, now and always. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend into your hands, O Lord, those whom we have loved: Roy Smith, Janet Allinson, and Russell Deaver. And on the anniversary of their death, Malcolm Boom and Elizabeth Walker. You gave them breath and loved them through their lives. Receive them now in your infinite tenderness and give them peace. And we pray especially this morning for the community in Plymouth involved in the tragic shooting last week. In their shock and sorrow, we ask that you will comfort the family and friends of those who died and enfold them in your eternal love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, there are things we cannot understand. The sudden death of a loved one, the death of a child, the deliberate act of terrorism by our fellow human beings, the realization that evil is something we all live with, the earthquakes, the wildfires, or flooding engulfing hundreds of people. Help us, Lord, that we may be able to place our anger, confusion, and grief at your feet, not dwelling on the darkness of death or making judgment, but praying that we may be fit to enter into the kingdom of heaven when our earthly life is over and our work is done. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. The peace of the Lord be always with you. as the grain once scattered in the field, and the grapes once dispersed on the hillside, are now reunited on this table in bread and wine. So, Lord, may your whole church soon be gathered together from the corners of the earth into your kingdom. Amen. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. You are worthy of our thanks and praise, Lord God of truth, for by the breath of your mouth you have spoken your word, and all things have come into being. You fashioned us in your image and placed us in the garden of your delight. Though we chose the path of rebellion, you would not abandon your own. Again and again you drew us into the covenant of grace. You gave your people the law and taught us by your prophets to look to your reign of justice, mercy, and peace. As we watch for the signs of your kingdom on earth, we echo the song of the angels in heaven, evermore praising you and singing. Lord God, you are the most holy one, enthroned in splendor and light. Yet in the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, you reveal the power of your love made perfect in our human weakness. Embracing our humanity, Jesus showed us the way of salvation. Loving us to the end, he gave himself to death for us. Dying for his own, he set us free from the bonds of sin, that we may rise and reign with him in glory. On the night he gave himself up for us all, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the death that he suffered on the cross, We celebrate his resurrection, his bursting from the tomb. We rejoice that he reigns at your right hand on high, and we long for his coming in glory. As we recall the one perfect sacrifice for our redemption, Father, by your Holy Spirit, let these gifts of your creation be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Form us into the likeness of Christ and make us a perfect offering in your sight. With favour on your people, and in your mercy hear the cry of our hearts. Bless the earth, heal the sick, let the oppressed go free, and fill your church with power from on high. Gather your people from the ends of the earth to feast with Blessed Mary and all your saints at the table in your kingdom, where the new creation is brought to perfection in Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. God's holy gifts for God's holy people. The body of Christ broken for us all. Blood of Christ shed for us all. Let us pray. Lord, of all mercy, we, your faithful people, have celebrated that one true sacrifice which takes away our sins and brings pardon and peace. By our communion, keep us firm on the foundation of the gospel and preserve us from all sin through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet prepared for all people. Amen. May the Father, from whom every family on earth and heaven receive its name, strengthen you with his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.